All right. Well, good morning, you guys. Man, I'm excited. I can't talk. I'm so excited. I can't talk. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I know it's kind of a day late, but whatever, right? So you survived the festivities, and so we're excited that you're here. We are not in any particular series right now. You probably know that. We've got a couple open weeks. Our next series, by the way, is starting right after Easter. It's called Fearless. We're talking about fear. 4 weeks, we're going to talk about fear. We're actually going to talk about different kinds of fear, fear of failure, the fear of man, a fear in general. And so listen, I think it's going to be an excellent series, and you don't want to miss it. We'll start that right after Easter, the week after Easter. So really looking forward to that. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to actually just kind of talk about a topic that we don't always talk about in church, but I want to talk about the topic of evangelism. If that's a new word for some of you, I know some of you are newer to the church. Let me just explain that really quickly, or very simply, I should say. Evangelism simply is sharing your faith. It's sharing the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of evangelism, I think many of us can be a bit intimidated by that. In fact, when we try to share our faith, we stumble over our words. We get nervous, and because of that, we actually rarely share our faith. I mean, we may post something on Facebook like, hey, here's a verse here and there, right? But personal evangelism, we're not so good at it because we're so intimidated by it. Now, this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you one particular style or method found in the scriptures. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but in the Bible or in the scripture, there are actually maybe four or five different methods or styles of evangelism. Now, I'd love to teach you all of those styles, but we just don't have the time for that today. So this morning, I'm going to teach you one of those styles or one of those methods of evangelism. We're going to dive into John chapter 1 here in just a few more moments here. And we're going to talk about what it looks like to share our faith. And this style or this method, listen, you guys, is a method I think that all of us can do. It's very simple. You can do this, I promise you. Whether you're new and maybe you just became a follower of Jesus at Radiant Church, you started attending Radiant Church and all of a sudden the lights turned on, you went from dead religion to a vibrant, life-giving relationship with Christ, you can do this. Maybe you've been following Jesus for 45 years, the last 40 years of your life, whatever it may be. Listen, I promise you, you can do this. But listen, before we dive into John 1 and the rest of our message, let me go ahead and I love to just open up in prayer. I love to pray. I really just do it for me more than you, honestly. But I'd love to just open us up in prayer. So if you just wouldn't mind maybe praying with me, maybe bow your heads just for a moment and just you can agree with me. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God. And again, we don't take it for granted that we're able to meet here together, God, and hear the preaching of your word. God, I just ask that you would open all of our hearts to what you'd like to say to us and what you want to say to us, God. And God, may we take what we hear and not just be hearers, but doers, God. We want to be people who actually practice this stuff and not just sit in a seat and hear something and then go to somewhere else and hear another message, God. We want to have our lives transformed. And so, God, by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do that this morning. We pray this in the beautiful, mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, one of my favorite local food spots right here in Bay City, Michigan, is a place maybe some of you have heard of it. It's called Third and Johnson Market. Anybody ever heard of that? About three people? Awesome. All right. Third and Johnson Market is a little local spot, and they have everything from like homemade quiche to homemade soups, to these incredible cookies that they probably bake, you know, during the day, every single day. And this is just an awesome spot that my wife and I occasionally like to go. And we get takeout, and they specialize in just kind of having this local produce that supports local economy. And they make everything there. So you know you're getting, like, really actually good food, like real food. And when we first moved back to Bay City, we had some friends of ours tell us about this place, Third and Market. Third and Johnson, sorry, Market. Now, one of my favorite things on this, or favorite items on the menu here, is this black bean burger, black bean and sweet potato burger. Thank you, honey. This black bean sweet potato burger. Now, listen, I'm not a vegan. I think it's cool like to be a vegan. If you want to be vegan, that's awesome. Go for it. I'm not a vegan personally. I like some vegan foods, but this black bean and sweet potato burger is the bomb. I promise you, you should check it out. But listen, we first went there because some friends of ours, it was probably Arnold's because they know all the cool spots in Bay City, they told us about this spot. I think it was them. I don't know, but I'm going to give them credit anyways. They told us about this spot, and because they told us about this spot, we went, and then we enjoyed it, right? Now, here's the thing about this. When they told us about this new place to go and try food here, we never got mad at them, right? We never got mad at them, right? I didn't turn to them and say, how dare you tell me about a new restaurant or a new market? I'm offended, right? I never said that to them. Actually, what we did is we went, and then we enjoyed it. And then we actually have told other people about this specific place. Now, here's what I've realized when it comes to evangelism. It's this big truth, and I really think it applies to evangelism. And here is the first sort of big truth I want to communicate this morning. It's this. Here it is. We naturally share the things that we enjoy or the things that inspire us. Okay? We naturally share the things that we enjoy. I think it's behind us. Maybe not. We naturally share the things that we enjoy or inspire us, right? That means no one has to tell you to share. We just do it because we're so excited about it. We're passionate about it, right? If I read a good book and you read a good book, what do? Well, you go on Twitter and you tweet it. You tweet a line from it, right? You go on Facebook, you take a picture of that book, and then you let everyone know, oh my gosh, reading this epic book, OMG, right? This book is awesome. If you go to a new restaurant, what do? You tell people, man, I was there the other night, and I had this, and I had that, and the ribs were so good. Man, you haven't been there. You got to go, right? Right, if you go to Lucky's and you have those fries with the cheese on top of them and the bacon, right? Who's getting hungry? Anybody, right? Everyone's like, how long is he got? Is he going to be here? You tell somebody about it. By the way, I did that about a couple months ago, and yes, they were amazing, right? You tell someone about it, and I think that this applies to the topic of evangelism, because evangelism really is really truly that. It's just telling people about something that you really truly enjoy, namely Jesus, right? You're just telling people who you enjoy, maybe what he's done in your life. That's all you're doing. You're just sharing that. You're saying, hey, you've got to check out Jesus. He is amazing. He transformed my life. He can transform your life. He can do amazing things. You're just simply telling people about what you have experienced in God. And I think we can learn a lot from that. This sort of invitation style is what I truly want to highlight this morning. This idea of just having a conversation with people. Now, I know that I mentioned the word evangelism, and some of you may already be a little turned off because you've seen it, you know, done poorly. You've seen it done the wrong way. You're thinking of the guy on TV who's trying to sell you the prayer cloth, right? Send me 5 payments of $49.95 and you can have the cloth that Jesus actually prayed with himself, right? And you're thinking, whoa, I don't want any of that. That's a bit shady. I'm not going to send $50 here, right? Or you're thinking of the woman with the giant, like, poofy blonde hair. I don't know why that's always on TV, but, and she's got the makeup, like the heavy eyeliner, right? She's preaching and it's like, whoa, and you're like, I don't really want any of that either. Right? That's not what I'm talking about. Again, I'm just simply talking about this morning, this idea of sharing about someone we truly enjoy, and that's namely Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage found in John's gospel. We're going to be in John chapter 1, and here's what we discover about Jesus. This is a big truth about Jesus. Jesus cares a lot about lost people. Right? Maybe you didn't know that. Jesus cares a lot about lost people. What does that mean, lost people? I know that can sound a bit ambiguous if you're new to the church. Lost people, the scripture describes someone who's lost simply as someone who doesn't have a relationship with God. They're outside of a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus has a love and a heart for those who don't know him yet. Right? And listen, if we are seeking to be disciples of Christ, if we want to be like Jesus, which, by the way, we should want to be like Jesus, listen, we too should have a heart, a burden, right, for lost people in our city, people who are far from God. So this morning, we're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at John chapter 1, and I just want to set this up quickly for you. If you've ever read John, you already know some of this, right? In the very beginning of John's gospel, he says this, "In the beginning was the Word." We don't have these up here, by the way. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? John wants us to see that there is a connection between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, what he's about to write. Because Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." So John, listen, is actually echoing the words from Genesis 1:1. Why is he doing that? Maybe you've never noticed that. He's doing that on purpose because John, number one, is a brilliant writer. Number two, he wants us to see that there is a connection between what's taking place, what has taken place in the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, to what John is about to write and tell all of us. John wants us to see that there's one big overarching story. And in the middle of that story, there's one central hero, one central figure. Listen, and his name is Jesus. So listen, John is saying, listen, Genesis 1:1 is related to what I'm about to tell you. It's not just some separate story that's just, oh, you don't read the Old Testament. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't count for anything today. No. John's saying, no, actually, that's wrong. It's all connected, actually. And then what we see in John chapter 1 is God sends a guy named John the Baptist. Now, he's not John the Baptist because he goes to a Baptist church. He's John the Baptist because he's a baptizer. He baptizes people. And what John is truly is this forerunner of the gospel. John is basically this Jewish itinerant preacher. And what is he doing? He's just traveling all over the place. And he's telling people about Jesus. He's telling people to repent. He's telling people, I'm not the Messiah. But there's a Messiah coming. There's someone who's coming that you know of that was written in the Old Testament. The prophets talked about him. He's on his way. He's getting everybody ready for Jesus. And that's what we're about to drop in on this story. We're going to see John the Baptist, and then we're going to see how evangelism happens naturally in this portion of Scripture. So John chapter 1, we're going to pick this up right in verse 35. Here we go. The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So he's identifying Jesus, right? He's saying, everybody, place your faith in him. Verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you guys want? What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Now Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Okay? So Andrew, basically, John is telling us that Andrew is one of the guys who follows Jesus. He responds to what John the Baptist says. In verse 41, notice what it says here. The first thing, now listen, Andrew's a new believer. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. Listen to this. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Now I want to camp out on verse 41 and verse 42 for just a few moments because there's something going on here that I think is really important for evangelism, for how we can practice evangelism today. I want you to notice verse 41. Let's look at that. It says, the first thing Andrew did. The first thing. Remember, Andrew responded to John the Baptist, right? John said, "Hey, Lamb of God, follow him." Andrew's like, "Okay, I'm going to do it." Well, Andrew discovers that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And the first thing the scripture says is he's going to find who? He's going to find his brother, right? He's going to find his brother Simon and tell him, right? So he finds, listen, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find family and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But what does he do in verse 42? He does something else. He brings them to Jesus. He brings them to Jesus. So he sees two things here in these verses. Number one, Andrew, he finds his brother, and then he brings him to Jesus. Let's keep going. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Let's just pause right there for a few moments. Now listen, again, there's something going on here in verse 43 that I think it's a big deal. In fact, I think if you have your Bibles with you, you might want to underline it. If you have a Bible app, you can highlight it in here. I want you to highlight this verse or these words. I want you to highlight this, finding Philip. Finding Philip. Finding Philip. I want to ask you this question this morning, and you can answer it out loud. This can be a crowd participation. Who found Philip? Okay, four of you got it. Who found Philip? Jesus. Remember, the answer is always Jesus if you don't know, okay? That's what they taught me in seminary. Who found Philip? Jesus found Philip. And there's a pattern going on here that I want you to see. And here's the big principle. You can put it up on the board. It's this, you guys. Oh, nope, the next point. Found people, find people. Found people, find people. Right? Jesus, what does he do? He goes out and he finds, right? He finds Philip. Finding Philip. The first thing Andrew did, what does he do? He finds his brother. Andrew finds his brother. Jesus finds Philip. Did you know that if you have a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've been reborn on the inside, listen, it is part of your responsibility. It's part of your vocation, actually. It's who you are now. Listen, that you are to go out and find people and bring them to Jesus. Did you know that? Because found people find people. Found people find people. That means if you are in relationship with Jesus, you should have a burden for the lost, and you should be thinking, you should be praying about, God, who's in my life? Who's in my sphere of influence? Who do I know that I know doesn't have a relationship with God? Who can I find, God, to bring them to you? Because found people find people. You see, Philip and Simon were not looking for Jesus, okay? Newsflash, lost people are usually not looking for Jesus, okay? Lost people are usually not looking for Jesus. Now, listen, I get the sentiment of the day, and I understand this is what we always say, and I totally get this. We say things like, oh, she's just searching. Oh, he's looking for something. You know he is, right? Oh, he's just looking. He's a seeker. He's trying to find, he's looking for truth. Now, I get that. I understand that. The only thing with that statement that I want to just kind of clarify is that people may be looking for something, and I do agree with that. They're searching, they're looking, but listen, oftentimes they don't know what they're looking for. All right? They don't know what they're looking for. So what they do try to look for is relationships, sometimes sex outside of marriage, right? Money, material possessions. They're trying to look for the next, the biggest, the best, the thing that will fill them, that will hopefully sort of fill that void in their hearts. And so, yes, I get it. Listen, they're looking for something and they're searching. The problem is, you guys, is that they don't know who they're looking for. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says this in the book of Romans, the letter of Romans here, and he's reflecting upon the human condition of our hearts. The Apostle Paul says this, Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Ouch. All right. Listen, this should be sobering for all of us, you guys. This is sobering. I get it. People say this all the time, and I hear it, and I never correct them because that'd just be kind of like a Jesus juke, and I don't want to do that, right? People say, oh, he has a good heart. Oh, he was a good egg, right? Yes, to some extent. But can I just tell you that theologically, no one is good except one? No one is good except for one. Listen, we, apart from Jesus, listen, are not we're not pursuing him. Listen, about 16 years ago, I was not pursuing God. I was pursuing women, okay? I was pursuing other things I can't say out loud, okay? I was pursuing money. I was pursuing my own glory, okay? I was not pursuing Jesus. But someone began to tell me about him, and Jesus came looking for me, and he found me. Because guess what? He was looking for me all the time. Right? So listen, at best, you guys, at best, we are not pursuing God. We're not pursuing Jesus. Apart from Jesus, you have to understand this. It sounds terrible, and it should sound terrible to you, because if it doesn't sound terrible, you won't understand the glory of the gospel. You won't understand the gift that God gives us. It is terrible. No one is pursuing God. Listen, apart from God, apart from Jesus, we have stiff-armed God. We said, you can have my Easter, you can have my Christmas, but don't you tell me how to spend my money. Don't you tell me who I can sleep with. Don't you tell me how to live my life. And you better show up when I have a tragedy, because you've got some explaining to do. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching this morning. Right? That's what we do, and we live in a city full of that. Can I just give you the reality? I have to give you a sobering reality. It should put a wrench in your stomach. It should do something inside of you. It should cause you to feel uneasy. It should. No one is good except for Christ. No one is pursuing God apart from Christ, right? This is the weight and the glory of the gospel. The Apostle Paul says, listen, no one is good. Listen, if we can't reach God by ourselves, you know what we need? We need a Savior. We need God to reach down to us. And what does he do? He does just that in Christ. Christ became one of us. He came to us. He came knocking on my door. He said, Marco, I want your heart. I want all of you. Right? He comes knocking on your door. We have to understand this. Listen, Philip wasn't looking for Jesus, right? These individuals weren't looking for Jesus, but people bring them to him. Let's keep going. Verse number 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. Do you see a pattern, church? 45, Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, we have found, you see that word again, John is brilliant, you guys, I promise John is a brilliant writer. We have found the one who wrote, the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, right? So we're seeing this progression. Philip finds Nathanael, right? Because found people find people. Philip goes out and he finds Nathanael. He finds Nathanael and he says, listen, I found the one whom all the prophets have spoken about in the Old Testament, right? It's Old Testament to us, but it was their scripture for the Jewish people. I found that individual, Nathanael, and I want you to meet him. This is a big deal. You should come and meet him. It's such a big deal because we found the one, right? Now notice what happens in verse 46. And this is Nathanael's response. Nazareth? I like to picture him saying, Bay City? All right. Can anything good come out of there? Oh, Madonna. Whatever. All right. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. And listen to what Philip says. Come and see. Come and see. Three powerful words, okay? Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus, right? We found the one the scriptures have been talking about, right? But Nathanael kind of sidesteps him. He's focused on all the wrong things. He's thinking, well, Nazareth, nothing good can possibly come from there. And I love what Philip says to him. He just says this, come and see. Come and see. This is a style of evangelism that you can use, you guys, that we should be using, right? You know what the best part of come and see is? The best part of come and see is that you don't have to have all the answers. Well, what about science? What does science say about God? Okay. Listen, I can't answer that right now. We'll get to that later, but you should just come and see. Come and see doesn't require you to debate with somebody for 3 hours. You can if you want. Good luck with that. But the scripture says, Psalm 14, I think it's Psalm 14, verse 1, that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Some people want to be blind, right? They're a fool is what the scripture says. Unfortunately, ouch, I know, right? It's sobering truth. But listen, this type of evangelism, you don't have to have all the answers. Maybe you don't truly understand all of the gospel. Now, I think that you should, of course, okay? You should understand the gospel. You should know about your faith. So I'm not excusing you from that. I'm just saying that you don't have to have all those things in place. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have read every book of the Bible 45 times. You can just say, come and see, right? What is it like there? Well, just come and see. Who's this Jesus you're telling me about? Come and see. And I love this because, listen, the idea here is that Philip, understands this. And this is what I want you to understand. Philip understands that when Nathanael comes into the presence of God, everything's going to change. You see that? Philip understands that when Nathanael meets Jesus, all of his doubts are going to melt away. Because there's something powerful about the presence and the power of God. Nothing can, in fact, here at Radiant Church, our vision is to create an environment where people can encounter the presence and the love of God. In other words, I tell my team, we're just setting the stage, okay? We can't manipulate anybody. We can't try to make it happen. We just set the stage for the presence of God. We try to keep our hearts right as best as we can, even though we're imperfect people. We're setting the stage for the presence of God to captivate people, to move them from being a skeptic to a full-blown out believer. Now, it doesn't mean that all of their questions will go away. It doesn't mean that, right? I still have questions. I mean, come on. You have questions. I have questions. It doesn't mean that. It just means that in the presence of God, all of those things begin to sort of fade away. When people see the presence of God in me, when they see it in you, when they see it and experience it in the gathered assembly, listen, God does something powerful and something transformative. And this is what Philip understands. He says, man, if I can just get Nathanael to meet Jesus, everything's going to change. I know, Nathanael, I know you got hesitations. I know you've been misled a little bit. I get it. But just come with me. I want you to meet Jesus, right? And Nathanael's thinking, Philip's thinking the whole time, man, I know that when he meets Jesus, something's going to snap. It's going to change. He's going to be overwhelmed with the love of God. He's going to be flooded with the grace of God. He's going to be overwhelmed with the mercy of God. He's going to see something that he's never seen before. And Philip gets this. If I can just get him in the presence of God, he says, come and see. So I think, listen, evangelism can be as easy as come and see, right? Maybe someone has said to you, and I hear this all the time, oh, I've been wanting to come to Radiant. I see your Facebook check-ins, right? Oh, all right. You should come, right? Well, come and see. Well, tell me about the preaching there. Like, what's the preaching? Well, you know what? You should just come and see. Well, what kind of worship do they do there? Is it like hymns or is it like, what is it? Well, you should just come and see yourself. Why don't you just come and see? Come and check it out. I'll save you a seat. All right? I'll buy you a donut. Actually, I won't buy you a donut because the church already bought one. I'll just give you the free donuts that are there. Okay? All right. You don't even have to buy. We'll provide the donuts, okay? And if we run out of donuts, we'll just call Cops and Donuts and get more donuts. It's okay. All right, if they want another donut, we'll give them another donut. It's okay. All right, I'm okay with that. Come and see, right? People have questions, and I get that. A lot of people have questions, right? Oh, you guys meet in a school. Oh, what's that like? Ooh, right? Well, you should just come and check it out. We're going to meet there at 10 a.m. It's pretty cool. I think you'll like it. Why don't you just come and see? Just come and check it out. I'll pick you up. right? You want to ride with us? We'll pick you up. Come and see, right? We have to make evangelism this way. Listen, again, I'm not, this doesn't mean that you don't have to know the gospel or be sophisticated in apologetics. I would love you to learn all those things. I'm just, again, I'm highlighting one style that the scripture highlights. There are other styles, okay? There are other methods, but this is just this one for this morning. Come and see. Church, I want you to think about this. What if one invitation could change someone's future for an eternity? What if one invitation, listen, could change someone's life forever? Listen, I bet some of you are here because somebody invited you. Maybe you saw it on Facebook. I get that, right? A check-in, and you're like, okay, maybe I should check it out. But I bet you somebody actually said, yeah, I do go there. You should come with me. Come and check it out, right? Listen, come and see. What if one invitation, listen, within the next 2 weeks, I think we have a huge opportunity, church. This opportunity to reach a lot of people. What if one invitation could change people's lives forever? But this is the big question for us this morning. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to be uncomfortable for a little while? I get it. We don't want to seem pushy. We're afraid of what are people going to think of me? There goes fear of man again. What are people going to think of me? I don't know. Am I too pushy? Did I check into Facebook too many times this month? I don't know. Right? Are you willing to just get over it? I'm going to pray for all of you, and I'm going to send you out. Listen, you're all ministers, okay? I'm a pastor, but listen, you got all of us together. We're all ministers, okay? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to send you out as we close service in a few minutes. Because why? Because you're all called to be ministers of reconciliation is what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. Right? We're all called to reconcile people to God. That's all of our duty. Some of you are really good at it because you're just gifted in that area. God has gifted you in that area, okay? But all of us have this responsibility. Listen, but will you do it? Will you just say, hey, come and see? Hey, I got this card. We're having Easter at Bay City Central High School. How did you get in there? I don't know. Just come and check it out. How is that all going to work? Where are we going to be at? What's the music like? It's awesome. It's going to be great. I promise your kids are going to have a great time. Just come and see. All right, yeah, okay. I might take you up on an offer, right? Will we begin to be inviters? I would love to have a culture where we invite people. I would love to lead a church that we feel comfortable inviting people, right? We don't have to explain away something, right? Oh, sorry about that one lady. Yeah, sure. Right? We've all been there, done that, right? I'd love to lead a church where we have a culture of invitation, where we invite people. Listen. So I'm going to pray for you here this morning. And then I'm going to pray again. So just stay with me for just a few moments. I'm going to pray for all of you, okay? Because all of you are called. All of you are sent ones. All of you. Let's pray together, church. Let me pray for you right now. God, right now, in Jesus' name, I send these people, God. God, they are your servants, God. Send them out, God. Send them. God, give them courage, God. Give them boldness like a lion, God. God, let the enemy not get near them, God. Let every seed that they plant, God, come to bear much fruit, Lord. God, give them people, Lord. Right now, we pray for those people right now. Just begin to think, maybe two or three people right now. Just think of two or three people in your spheres of influence that you know are far from God. Come on, just begin to think about those people. God, we pray right now for those people in our spheres of influence, God. God, we pray, soften their hearts, even right now, wherever they're at, God. They're not in church, God. Soften their hearts and send us. As Isaiah said, here I am, send me. God, we are the answer to someone's prayer, God. Help us to see that. And so now, God, with your spirit, by your spirit, God, I commission these people as sent ones, God, truly apostles, God, sent from this house to go and bring the gospel to the entire city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're not quite done. I want you to look up at me. Everybody can look back up. Listen. Maybe you're here this morning and it is your first time. Maybe it's your second time. And you were looking for, well, you didn't know what you were looking for. You've been here for a while or for a few weeks and you found Jesus, or maybe more accurately, Jesus found you. And right now, listen, I just want to ask, would you maybe put your faith in Christ? I want you to put your hope in Jesus right now. No turning back. It's your opportunity. It's your time. God's love is for you. His mercy, his grace is extending towards you. I just want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray with you as well. If that's you this morning, listen, fill out a connection card. Come up to me after service. Come tell one of us, one of our leaders, or maybe guest services. I don't care. Tell somebody, today I decided to follow Jesus. This is a public thing. This is not a secret, okay? It's public. So just tell one of us so we can pray with you. Let's just pray together. Let's just pray for these people right now, if that's you. All right, Jesus, we thank you. We love you, God. Now, some of us are in here. Maybe we want to put our faith in you for the first time. Even if there's just two or three people, it's all worth it, God. All right, we give our lives over to you, God. Forgive us of our sins, God. Wash us clean. Make us new, God. Give us a new heart, God. We understand that you came to die for us even when we were ungodly. We were in our sin, God. And that you took the cross in our place. 3 days later, you were raised from the dead, and you sit at the right-hand side of the Father. We follow you now, Jesus. We put our hope, our trust in you alone, God. We cannot save ourselves. We're doomed by ourselves. And so we need you, Jesus. We need you. This morning, we trust you. We receive forgiveness. We receive mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can we just clap our hands, people? Listen, this morning, don't forget, grab some invitation cards, okay? If you put your faith in Christ for the first time this morning, or you renewed your walk, I'd love to talk to you. Come up and see me. Love to pray with you. Guys, have a great weekend. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.